Hey, and happy Monday. What are you staring over at the board over there?
I am, because I'm having a hard time hearing myself on the mic.
Well, you know.
Luckily, I hear you.
Luckily, we can all hear
you. So I had to make sure that you turned my mic on.
You're hot.
You know,
you're hot there. I hear you fine.
Okay.
I hear you fine. So does everyone out there. Look at
hello!
Look at everyone out there in the audience. They're waving at you.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. They hear
waving
you.
Waving back.
They hear you. So, Tiff, you know, I missed you last week.
You did not.
I don't believe you had
your son and son-in-law here.
Yeah, Nate and Luke were here last week. It was a good show, but I missed you. I still missed you. To preparing for this show, I wanted this show to be so special. Your big welcome back.
Oh.
I rewrote my notes 100 times. I was really overthinking the show.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, so since you overthink it?
Then
it better be really, really good.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be.
Okay.
So anyway, so hello and welcome everyone out there in Radio Land. You're tuned into WRLR 98.3 FM.
The Life.
There you go. You got it, man.
Now
it's zipping, baby. Everyone's going to remember we're The Life.
The Life.
Yeah, there you go. It is Monday. It's 7 o'clock, and so you've tuned into Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and across the board from me, the prettiest little girl in Lake County.
Where? Oh, Tiffany!
That was it. I figured I'd say that and got in trouble with my wife all in one quick moment. So there you go. So on Bacon Bits with Master Happiness, what we do is I have identified that there are plenty of reasons for you to be angry, sad, even afraid.
Ooh.
That's right. So happiness is outnumbered 3-1. So what we want to do is help you exercise that happiness muscle, you know, give you some shortcuts to share so that you have a jolly stroll down happiness lane to Happy Town. Okay.
That intro's Happy Town's always good.
That's right. It's getting longer and longer. So today what we're going to talk about is overthinking, the idea of not being able to make a decision, just overthinking these things all the time. And sometimes,
been there, done that.
Yeah, and sometimes what happens is it leads to indecision. You end up not making a decision at all. And this type of thing leads us away from happiness. So we want to talk a little bit about this, how we can overcome this. Why do we overthink sometimes? And why aren't we a little bit more decisive in our life?
Mm.
Okay, so I like how you jumped right in there. That's kind of like you. Sometimes, all the time, usually. What do you think, Tiff?
I'm getting better.
Okay.
I'm getting much better after some therapy.
Nice. There you go. How long did it take you to decide to go to therapy?
You know, I'm very, very pro-therapy.
Good.
So,
yes, me too.
Definitely. And it was actually very difficult with COVID and everything to try to find a therapist. But
okay.
I found one. Love her. She's awesome. And she really helps me out a lot.
Probably just a librarian who's constantly going, shh, why are you here?
Well, let me tell you.
Well, that's good. So you're getting better at that.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are there any types of things that you find you still are indecisive about? Or is it occasionally? I mean, in other words, is it really important things? Is it something to do with people? Is it something to do with, like, I can't make a decision on where to go out and eat? You know, that
okay.
kind of stuff.
So that's every Friday.
Yes.
We can't make a decision
okay.
on where we're eating.
Oh, I like how you just threw Mark under the bus. We can't make a decision.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's
okay.
funny. We tried to ask the person, like, it'll go down to Thursday or Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay, you have 2 days to decide where we're going to eat on Friday.
Wow.
And so
wow.
whoever says it first has to make the decision.
Oh, okay.
But the funny thing is, I'll make a decision. He's like, okay, well, where would you like to go to eat? So then that was my hint that he
really
doesn't want to go to the point that I picked. So,
okay.
So, yes, we overthink.
Yes.
the decision, something small.
That's what makes it even tougher is when you overthink it, and then when you do finally make the decision, you throw it by the other person, and like, oh, now I've got to overthink it.
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of funny. So, I mean, it's something so silly but that doesn't really bother me. It's like, I don't care where we go.
Do you think that sometimes the bigger, more important decisions are more difficult for you to make or easier for you to make because they're more important?
I have a Tiffany story.
Yeah, please, share away.
Okay, so
as long as it's relevant.
So when Mark and I got engaged, he had a house and I had a house. And we had to sell it. So we had purchased our house here.
Okay.
So I had my house in the market, and I had one offer that was $100 over asking.
Okay.
And I had another offer that was under asking, but it was my brother's friend.
Ooh,
and I had known him.
Uh-huh,
I don't know if I'd consider him a friend,
right,
but it was an acquaintance.
Okay.
I knew him and, you know, stuff like that. So I was overthinking.
Yeah.
I was having anxiety. Of course, I wanted the higher bid,
certainly,
but I didn't want to hurt the feeling of my brother's friend that also put it, because I was friendly with him too.
Sure, sure.
So I was going, I was losing my mind.
Wow.
And then.
So how did you end up making the decision?
Oh gosh, you're going to think I'm crazy, but you already
do. I already do, so that's right, yes.
So the people out there are going to think I'm crazy, but they probably already do too. Okay, I heard my grandma, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, Tiffany, you know what you need to do."
I like that.
And,
And
of course, I knew, knowing grandma.
You went for the money.
Went for the money.
Nice.
And then it turned, and I was really upset. And it turned out when I talked to my brother, I said, "I'm sorry." When he goes, "Well, good for you. He might not have even been able to get the loan anyways."
Wow,
you know?
Okay.
So it turned out
okay. So it was,
but I had so much anxiety because of that. And it turned out for the best.
All right. So this is cool. That's a great story.
Okay,
I like this. Don't worry about it. No, it's a good story because it does lead to something that after the decision is made and you talk to other people, you realize maybe it wasn't that difficult a decision.
Yes.
And so keep that in mind. That's definitely one of these things. We have people we trust in our life, in our inner circle, that it's okay to ask people just as long as you realize that, you know, you can't blame them if the decision is, you know, later. You told me to do this.
Nope.
It's still up to you.
Yep.
It's still up to you.
Exactly.
All right. So when I was doing the research, I found a couple of different things, which really makes sense, is when we are indecisive, when we can't come up with these things, when we overthink something to the point where, you know, you can't make a final decision, usually it starts out with either a fear of missing out on something or a fear of failure. Okay, that's one of the first things. Is so, in other words, between let's just talk about restaurants. In you know, like, oh, we're gonna pick one of two restaurants, right? Oh, I'm if I go here, then I really like this other food that's at the other restaurant. I don't,
Pasta Bazool.
There you go. That's right. You just always go with Pasta Bazool, right? So you're always afraid of missing out on something. The other thing is the fear of failure, whether it's for yourself or in front of other people. Like, I failed at this. I made the bad decision. All right, and so when you think of that, that points to this this anxiety, or the next thing, this level of low self-confidence. Mm-hmm. That, hey, if I make a decision, some decisions I make, other people will think are right or wrong. Some decisions I might make afterwards, I might think are right or wrong. Okay, but I'm human, so I have permission to make mistakes. So, unfortunately, sometimes we don't have enough self-confidence. We worry about what other people are going to think. So because of that, we have a fear of missing out because, oh, I want to hang out with them, but I also want to hang out with these other people. And if I don't hang out with them, then they won't want to be my friends. And if I don't hang out with them, they're never going to invite me again. And there's that type of thing. The fear of failure is this whole idea of they're going to think I'm a failure if I don't go ahead and do this. All right, if I do it the wrong way. So there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other thing, and the most obvious, which I wish it would always come down to this, is a lack of information. Sometimes we can't make a decision because we don't have all the information.
Hmm.
All right. And so that way we overthink things.
That makes sense.
But when you're overthinking things, and when you can come down to it going, oh, I think we should do this, but you realize you don't have enough information, then just go out and find the information you need. Okay, that's the most important thing. When you identify why you can't make a decision, whether it's a fear of missing out, a fear of failure, a lack of self-confidence, or a lack of enough information, then see how you can do something about it. Face it and say, does this really make sense? Should I be postponing a decision because of a fear of failing or a fear of missing out. No, just make the decision, right? So what we're going to do is, like we do every week, Tiff.
We do? Yes,
every week. What we're going to do is we tackle the world's problems, and today we're talking about overthinking, but what we're going to do is apply a little bacon to it.
Ooh, crispy bacon?
Oh, if that's what you like.
Thank you.
Did you see on the t-shirts? I have two t-shirts. It's kind of a competition. It's I'm telling people to see, are you team chewy or team crispy?
No, I didn't
see that. So they're the t-shirts. It's
It's
called Bravo Alpha Chewy October, not October. Yeah, October. No, not October. What is it? Something like that. November. So it's the call signs, the military call signs, but instead of Charlie, it's replaced with Chewy or Crispy.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're up there. We're asking people.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question. So do they still get 20% off if they type in oink?
Yes, up until the 24th. Up until the 24th. So you go to masterhappinessgear.com, get all your bacon gear there, and you get 20% off.
Nice.
Very good. Just
oink.
Oink. O-I-N-K.
There we go.
There you go.
It's not working.
That's right.
What do you mean it ends in a K and not a
That's
C?
Right. Or I'm just screaming into the computer. Oink. Oink. All right. So anyway, like I said, we apply a little bacon to everything here, right? And it is not the bacon for chewing.
It's the bacon for doing.
There you go. And today is no exception. So when we're talking about trying to beat this idea of breaking free from the cycle of anxiety that stops us from making decisions because we're overthinking, I want us to think of this. All right. So B is going to be this. Be mindful. Okay. So that's, in other words, just grasp the day. Live for the day. All right. A is analyze your thoughts. C is create a plan. You're writing that down?
I am.
All right. O is overcome perfectionism. And then N is going to be nurture positive self-talk. So we're going to get into all of those. But You know what ends up happening, Tiff? I took a look at the numbers of the people who listen to our show.
Oh, yeah.
And our show is just under an hour. It's like 55 minutes, 58 minutes. It varies like that. People don't listen to the entire show. They miss the ending sometimes.
Oh, I hate that? When that happens.
Yeah, they cut off the averages like
that. That's like the best part of
the end. Exactly. So I'm going to give some of the best part early on. That's why we start listing out what the BACON comes up with. But I also want to jump right into this. Some of these solutions, some of these ideas to help us make better decisions. I'm going to jump into that right now, just in case somebody makes the decision to leave the show early.
Oh, no.
I still want them to get something, get a benefit out of
the
show. All right. So here are three different ways that can help you make decisions quicker. And I want you to really, really own these ideas, really think about these ideas and try these ideas when you are stuck with a decision.
Okay.
All right. And it could be as simple as, where are we going to go out? Is that your knee? Where we want to go out to dinner.
Okay. Mark, are you listening?
Yeah,
okay.
How much are we going to ask or pay for this new house? Should I buy a new car? Decisions are big and small. Okay. Should I go for a raise at work? Should I leave work and try a different career? Those are big decisions. And so when you think about those type of enormous decisions, where do you want to go to dinner? Suddenly really seems pointless, meaningless. Mm-hmm. It's not that important. So that seems like that should be a decision that's much easier to make, but yet it's not. Okay. So, first off is going to be narrow it down to a choice of two.
Oh, we do that.
Yes, good. So let's say you have three or five different places that you might want to go to. Narrow it down to two. And you can go through all five, but only compare them one against the other.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
All right. So it's perfect. Good.
So far.
That works out, right? So it might be, hey, we want to go to the Italian restaurant.
The fish fry?
Yeah, the fish fry or the Italian restaurant.
Or the Italian restaurant.
All right. So then you say, all right, so out of those two, forget about everything else. Out of those two,
We haven't been to the fish fry for whatever
the reason. So you can justify it. So we're going to go to the fish fry. Cool. Now, the other options we were also contemplating was going to Arby's. Because Arby's
has the best Reuben sandwiches.
So you might go, ooh, the fish fry or Arby's. Ooh, which one? Then you might go, oh, the fish fry. is only on Fridays, right?
Correct.
So, you know, we can go to Arby's anytime. Fish fry is more limited. Mm-hmm. So let's stick with the fish fry. So what we keep doing is we just compare one against another. If you put in a third guess, it is really difficult because of the way our minds work, the human mind.
We can't work over three.
No. We can barely work with three because we view things as one, two, or many. That's how the human mind sees things.
Oh.
Okay, now, obviously, the human mind can decipher the difference between three, four, and five. But what it views it as, that's a lot to choose from. So you'll see a lot of times that in advertising, if they just say, here's the option you have, buy this car. They never do that with just one option, buy the car or don't buy the car, because that's your choice, buy or not buy. So the first thing they do is they give you the option between two different things. Buy this car, get the red one or the blue one. Now your decision is not to buy the car, your decision is the red
one
or the blue one. Right. Now what ends up happening is if they throw in a third option, the third option is usually geared to push you in a direction of one or the other. The third one is to show you, wow, this company has an abundance of products. And the third one is put in there, maybe the price or the quality, or it's similar to one of them. It makes you think one direction is better than the other.
Hmm.
So the third option is usually put in there. Take a look at when you go to a movie theater and you order popcorn or pop, right, to drink.
And snow caps.
Well, the snow caps is a separate issue. That's the abundance of candy you choose from. So the popcorn or pop, what happens is there's three sizes, right? And they have a small, and they might say, that's $4, right? The medium is $6, and then the large is $7. So you sit there going, well, if I'm going to get the medium for only a dollar more, I might as well get the large. And they put the medium price closer to the large, so when you spend more money, when you buy the large, you think you're getting a great deal.
Oh.
So that's the trick in when you're shown three options. So you'll notice a lot of times you'll see it when you buy things online, and maybe it's an app that you're buying or a service you're buying, and you click on pricing, and pricing pops up. The pricing is always in threes or fives. And the one that's dead center is a different color, going, this is your best option.
Oh, yes, okay? Yes.
And so you look at that and go, well, this is the best option. And immediately, because it's there, and you look, and there's these higher prices over here. So people are paying this much money? Oh, my gosh. So then you look back going, well, I wanted to only pay the cheapest, but this one is the best option, right? And there's people paying so much more. I didn't realize people would actually pay that much. So that way they trick you into buying one thing by giving you multiple options. So this is a little secret for us to understand when we're making decisions. Marketers push us to make a very a decision the way they want us to make. So it's important for us to narrow it down to two, going back to what we talked about. So if you go somewhere and you're going to buy popcorn and there's three things, hey, this is $2 in popcorn, this is $5, and then the next one is $6, ask yourself, how much popcorn do I really need?
See, and another thing is usually the popcorn has free refills, so you would automatically think get the small because you get free refills.
But
then that means you have to get up and leave the movie, and you'll miss something.
Yeah, well, a lot of places, the small sometimes, not every place, a lot of times the small doesn't have a free refill.
Oh.
So what they do is they go, oh, if you get the large, you get a free refill. So then you go, oh, that's an added bonus. Then you're going, how much popcorn am I going to eat, right? So there's all those kind of tricks to get you to spend that little bit more money. So just when you're making these types of purchasing decisions, keep that in mind. Narrow it down to two. Just compare two prices, two products, etc., and say, which one do I really want? All right, so that's the first one. Now, these next two I find really fun, and that is this. Let's pick two restaurants. So let's go again with the fish fry and the Italian restaurant.
Okay.
So you two want to go.
Okay.
So what you would do is you'd be like, oh, Marcos, you know what? Dear, it's your birthday. You get to choose. It doesn't really matter what I want. I want you to choose. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I want, because I like fish fry, but I like pasta bazoom.
Oh, no. This actually happened.
Oh, completely.
It did.
All right. So this is what you end up doing, and you can't make your decision, and then you want him to jump in, all right? And more than likely, whatever he says, you're going to go, oh, but I really want the other one. Okay, so no matter what he says, you're going to lean towards the other one because you're thinking, well, I have this fear of missing out. So if he says, we'll go to the Italian restaurant, you're like, oh, but I want to go to the fish fry. And if he says, because you don't want to miss anything at the fish fry. So if he goes, you know what, we should go to the fish fry. but I have a taste for pasta fazool. <You know? laughs> So that's that fear of missing out. So that's what's difficult about saying, I don't know for sure, what's your opinion? Because getting the other person's opinion doesn't help usually. What it does is it fuels you, okay, to either like the other one, okay, because you don't want to miss out, right? So use that to your benefit. Instead of asking a person, what you do is, let's say it's we're...
You flip a coin.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I was totally joking.
But you flip the coin, but you don't actually flip the coin. Okay? And this is what I mean. So you're going to choose between the Italian restaurant and the fish fry, right?
Okay.
So you say, okay, we're going to flip a coin. Heads, we go to the fish fry. Tails, the Italian restaurant.
Okay.
And you go, okay, I'm ready. Before I flip it, I go, so Tiffany, if it's heads and we go to the Italian restaurant, okay, how are you going to feel? That's what you ask yourself. And if you go, well, oh, I really wanted to kind of go to the Italian restaurant, or I wanted to go to the fish fry, I want to go to the other one. If you start feeling that way, what happens is by imagining the coin flip and it comes up, are you going to be disappointed if it comes up heads? In other words, that's basically what you're asking yourself. Am I going to be disappointed if it comes up heads? Am I going to be disappointed if it comes up tails? And just by asking yourself that, by pretending you're flipping a coin and the choice was taken away from you. In other words, right now you have a choice. Which restaurant do you want to go to? But if you say, I'm going to leave it up to chance, I'm going to leave it up to the flip of a coin, suddenly the choice is taken away from you. And when the choice is taken away from you, disappointment like airs its head or sticks its head out and says, here I am. So you can say, oh, well, I'm going to be disappointed if we go to the Italian place because I really want the fish fry. So that's the secret there. The first one is narrow it down to two. Once you do that, if you still can't make up a mind, pretend to flip a coin. Say, we're going to flip it, and how will I feel if it's heads? Okay?
But if you still want to flip the coin, you're allowed to.
Sure, you can flip the coin. But what you're doing is think of that. If you're saying, I really cannot make a decision, so I'm just going to flip a coin. So that means that the only way that works for you is if you are so 100% dead set that either one works. Either one is fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, 100%, because then you just leave it to fate. But you know yourself that if you flipped a coin and it came up heads, part of you would go, oh, I really kind of wanted to go to the other place, right?
Yeah, Mark does that all the time.
Okay.
He will not have a decision that I'll step up and make the decision.
Yeah.
And then that's not what he wanted.
No, of course. Right? Okay. So the third one. And this is one that actually I kind of changed. I heard something about this and then I kind of changed it and used it and it really works. This one really works.
Flip a dollar.
Not flip a bigger coin. Right. No. This one is set an imaginary deadline, just like an imaginary coin flip. This is set an imaginary deadline. And so what we do is this. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't know which one I want to go to, the Italian restaurant or the fish fry, right? The Italian restaurant or fish fry. And I look at the time and I go, it's 8:26. So what we will do is we will say the decision has already been made. We're going to the fish fry. At 8:30, if you have not changed your mind, we're going to the fish fry. If you do change your mind, we're going to the Italian restaurant. That's it. Done. So now the only decision is I don't want to go to the fish fry. Okay. Instead of saying one or the other, we've already made the decision. The decision is we're doing the fish fry. Okay. That's it. It's done. Now you've got 3 minutes. And during the 3 minutes, if something really pops up that makes the other place better, then you do the other place.
And then a third one pops up and ends up being Chili's.
No. Well, if a third one pops up, then you got to go back to the first thing of narrowing it down to the two. Okay.
God, that's funny.
But just as simple as that is you want to take these things. Help take some of the decision work out of you, okay, and make it easier. Because what we do is we're afraid of missing out. We're afraid of confidence. You know, we have a lack of self-confidence. What this does is it limits our decision. It forces us to make a decision and forces us to get in touch with what our decision would make us feel like. All right?
Okay.
So there we go. Beautiful.
There we go.
All right. I can't wait to hear about the next time that you have to make a decision. All right, and which one you're going to try. You're going to throw a coin at Mark, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So anyway, we all know that we overanalyze things. We overthink these things, and they could be small things, big things, etc. So let's get into the bacon part of it. All right. The idea here is the letter B was be mindful. Okay. When we overthink things, it's often caused by stress or anxiety, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And this results in a constant state of worry. Okay, what, you know, is this a good decision? Is this a bad decision? Oh my gosh, I made the wrong decision the last time, etc. And you start going through this whole thing. Instead, try to be mindful. Take a look. Try to focus on ourselves. This is where we get into this whole the exercise, being able to do these mindfulness exercises like meditation, yoga, breathing, etc. Allows us to calm our mind a little bit better. Yes. But we have to do this on a regular basis.
Yes.
We can't just say, hey, it's time to pick a place to eat.
Exactly.
No, you can't do that. You've got to just be part of it.
Yeah.
If you find that you're the type of person who overthinks a lot of things on a regular basis, it's probably a good idea that you practice something,
yes,
some type of mindfulness exercises.
Absolutely.
Just to calm your mind a little bit so that you have control over your mind.
Correct.
Okay, excellent. So that's,
boom!
Did you like that one?
Yes.
All right, so that's the B, mindful. A is analyze your thoughts. And I really like this. In the past few episodes, we've been talking more and more about this. And this is this idea of, when you're sitting there and you're trying to decide one or the other, and you're like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on this. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on this. You start going through this. Analyze your thoughts and ask yourself, is this the thing I'm going to allow me? Is this the thing that's going to cause me so much stress?
Yeah.
You know, and you start sitting there and you give yourself what I like calling is the helicopter view. You hover above yourself and look down and go, really? All right, this is going to cause you all of this anxiety. And you say to yourself, either place we go is good food. Either place we go, we're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Why am I beating myself up? Why am I taking so much? Why am I, you know, doing this to my physical being, stressing myself over something so simple and silly?
Yes.
Right? So it's analyze your thoughts. Really get into there and just ask yourself, am I reluctant to make a decision because I'm afraid other people are judging me? Am I afraid to do this because other people are looking at me? Am I afraid really just because I'm going to miss out on something else? I mean, that something else is going to be there later on, right? I mean, if you went to the Italian restaurant this Friday, you can go to the fish fry next week Friday, mm-hmm. right? So when you step away and you analyze your thoughts and try to get to the root of the problem, why am I having such a difficult time making this decision? Okay. There is a movie, I really love this movie. It was great. Circles with Mel Gibson. Did you ever see that?
No, and I love Mel Gibson.
It was about the crop circles.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think it was called Circles.
I think so.
I don't
what
think so.
What was it called? It was about the crop circles.
It was, yeah. Yes, and I did see it several times.
And it was with, what's his name? Something Phoenix.
He plays Mel's brother.
Right, yes. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was Circles. Anyway,
no.
You'll look it up.
I am.
All right. What I liked about that, as far as the eating dinner and stuff, was here they thought this was their last night. They thought the aliens were coming and taking over, and they were all going to get killed and stuff like that. So Mel Gibson, the father, asks everyone, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? And everyone asks, well, I want something different. So they cook everything. And they had fried chicken. They had spaghetti. You know, I think they had cereal and whatever. But everybody had...
They had the tinfoil hats on.
Exactly. But everyone got a chance to eat exactly what they wanted, which was another solution to that indecision. Okay? In reality, if there's two of you making a decision between the Italian restaurant...
Swing away!
Exactly. Right. There you go. If there's two of you making a decision between the Italian restaurant and the fish fry, why not order the food to go? And order from both of them. That's another legitimate option. And then you eat at home.
It's called signs.
Signs. There you go. Yeah, there you go. The signs were in the
usually you're pretty darn good at movies.
Yeah, there you go.
Circles.
What the heck is that? I knew it was
Meryl. Swing away, Meryl.
And who played Meryl?
You had the last name right.
I know, right. Because his older brother was River Phoenix. This was... Gosh,
played the Joker.
Yeah. One of the many people who played the Joker. All right, so anyway.
Not in the movie Joker.
No, he was the only one. Yeah, right, yes. Okay, anyway, so that was analyzing your thoughts. All right, so the next thing is going to be creating a plan. All right, and this continues on with what we're talking about when you analyze your thoughts and you say, am I going to truly let these things affect me and bother me and stress me out and add anxiety into my life? So start creating a plan of how you are going to become better at beating overthinking. All right. So Tiff, how did you overcome overthinking?
I haven't.
All right, but you said you said you're getting better at it. Unless you lied. You've been overthinking this whole that question for a week or 2 weeks.
So I was trying to figure out which number it was of your thing. I don't make it as bad
okay.
as it is.
All right, so how do you do that? You just
talk to myself.
Okay, so that's good. So you're analyzing your thoughts. That's the A right there. Analyzing your thoughts. Okay. And then the idea is creating a plan. Start saying to yourself, you know, when I realize it's a silly decision, then let's make it quicker. Even if you give yourself 30 seconds, say, I'm going to give myself 30 seconds and it doesn't really matter. If I choose this way, it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter. This is not that big of a decision. I'm not going to let myself get stressed out over this. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. If it's a bigger decision, you do the same thing and say, this is worthwhile. This is something I've got to look into and learn more information before I finally make a decision. So maybe I'm going to give myself a day to think about it, a week to think about it, a month to think about it. But still give yourself some time, a deadline, so that you will put the adequate amount of thought into it. Okay? All right? So, yeah, it's
That's why I handed you the
it's
phone.
It's a Jaqueen?
Nope. Something like that, you're pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah. Oh, you can't even pronounce it.
That's why I handed it to you. You're Mr. Movie Guy.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry. But, yes. And there's also times that the issue stresses me out so much.
Right.
And even if it's a huge thing that I could lose out on a lot, I'd rather lose out on something than go through the stress. And I had to make that decision before because I was so stressed out and like, you know what? I can't handle the stress. I'm just going to end it.
But you see, you know what? We talked a little bit about that last week on the show about catastrophizing, all right? That making everything a catastrophe. What ends up happening is some people say the same thing. Dealing with this is going to cause me so much stress. So fine, I'm just not going to make a decision and I'll lose out. Because that's how it always works. And so what ends up happening is it's a momentary fix for a much bigger problem. What you've got to do is you can't allow yourself to go, so I'm not going to make a decision because I'm going to stress out on the decision because you're missing out on something.
Right. Well, I do make the decision.
Uh-huh.
It's not, you know, when I'm not going to make a decision.
Okay.
I make a decision that may not be the right decision, but I just want to end it.
A decision.
Make a decision.
Perfect.
It may not be the right decision, but it's right in my book because it's less stress and less anxiety.
Right.
If that
right.
made sense.
But yes, completely.
Okay.
But what I want to make sure is that you don't do what some people do, and that is they'll say, well, all right, so we're going to the Italian restaurant, and then in the back of their mind, a little voice is saying, you're going to hate the Italian restaurant, but fine, you made the decision. You know, because you don't want that either, because then you're not going to enjoy it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to get there and go, yeah, should have gone to the fish fry. Look, this is awful food, I know. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Pasta Fazool,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They ran out of Fazool.
So, they ran out of Fazool.
So what you want to do is when you make that decision, is stick with it. Be confident about your decision.
Yep.
This is something you said, right or wrong, you're going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, because there is, you got to live by that idea of you either win or you learn. And so if you make a decision and later on you're like, yeah, that wasn't the best decision. I learned from it and that gives me more information the next time I need to make a decision. Don't beat yourself up about it saying, oh, I'm such a loser. I can't believe it. We're always picking the Italian restaurant. And I love the fish fry. And then eventually you go to the fish fry and go, I'm allergic to fish. Why do we even come here? Okay. So instead, no, fight for it. All right. So Tiff, before we go crazy over here, because we only got a couple letters left, you got any quotes for us?
I got many quotes.
Ooh,
okay.
I'm excited.
This is my favorite spiritual guy.
Your favorite spiritual guy. Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
I like him.
Yes, you do.
You are not going to worry yourself out of the problem.
You are not going to worry yourself out of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't that a good one?
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I found a quote, too. I'm gonna throw this quote by you.
Oh.
Okay. This is by this guy, Ryan Stueman. He is a happiness coach. He's an author. I saw some picture of him. Big guy. He probably works out. But this one, I really like this. It's, there are only 7 colors and 10 numbers. Life is simple. It's humans that make it complicated.
Oh, amen.
How about it?
That's so true.
I just thought about that going, That is so, yeah, it's so true. Life is really simple. We just go out of our way to make it more complicated.
Yep.
Yes. So give us another one there, Tiff. Okay. We're in a roll. These are nice ones. Yeah.
Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
Wow. Look at that one. Who said that one?
Irma Bombeck?
Yeah.
I like her.
Yes. Who doesn't like her?
Yeah.
Is she still alive?
No.
Oh, all right. Wow, you knew that. All right. Okay.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
She was a modern-day philosopher.
Yeah, she was...
She could turn a phrase.
Yeah, she has some pretty good books out there.
Yes, yes. All right, so we're still... We just want to finalize this creating a plan. All right, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is... when you sit here, so you're obviously you've created a bit of a plan. You're saying at a certain point, you kind of look at yourself and go, why am I going to let, I'm not going to let, allow this decision to affect me in a negative way. Just make the decision and run with it, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Good. So that's the important thing. I want everyone.
And can I tell you honestly, the stress totally gone.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I would be so stressed out. I'd go for long walks and it horrible. And when I was like, you know what? End of story. Boom.
Right.
Done it.
There you go.
My choice as of now was the right one because the stress is totally gone.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And it's wonderful.
Good. And that's what I'm glad to hear that you're saying the stress leaves you.
Yes.
Because some people would do the same thing, and there's probably people out there listening in saying, well, I make that quick decision, I just go, okay, I'll do this, and then I regret it the entire time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, make a decision and then be true to yourself and believe in yourself and saying this is what it is, and it doesn't matter if later on I say, well, I should have gone to the other place. Well, fine. You still enjoyed or you got something out of this, if nothing else other than a lesson you learned from that. Okay. Now, you know, we've been talking mostly about just, you know, going to a restaurant, this place or this place. But let's say it's something much bigger. You know, I'm looking to buy a house and I'm sitting here going, oh, I have to put a quote on this house. I've got to go over asking price in order to get it. What should I go out with? You're not going to go, well, let's flip a coin. Okay.
Right.
That's a little bit more difficult.
A little bit more difficult.
All right. But the flipping.
Maybe like a lake house?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
But we'll see if he's listening.
The flipping of the coin. The flipping the coin is still good for you to go over the finish line, just that last little push you need.
Yeah.
But when it's a much larger decision, understand that most of the anxiety comes from it's all emotional based.
Yes.
That you're sitting there going, oh, I really want to buy this car. It's a red one. It's really cool. You know, it's got those flames painted on the sides, and I deserve it, okay? As opposed to the one that really makes economical sense, and it's, you know, $40,000 cheaper, okay? You know? So what you want to do is you want to make a smart decision. So that's when I say try to get away from a emotional decision and try to make it a logical decision as much as possible. And that's where there seems to be like one of the easiest things is just listing out the pros and cons of both.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just the pros and cons, and then just compare the pro on one side versus the con on the other, okay? And say, is that pro for the red car greater than the con, the negative for the other car, right? And go through and try to eliminate them and then flip it over. The pros for the blue car, is it better than the con or the negative of the red car? And just do a really strong comparison. Just start, and it's the same thing. You know, you come up with a list of pros and cons, and you come up with, well, I've got 25 things in both lists, right? How do I make a decision?
You flip a coin.
Yeah, there you go. No, you narrow it down to two. Compare only two, and you say, this is what it is. But you're at the end, when it comes right down to it, you got to ask yourself, how am I going to feel? So I you laugh about it, but I would say at the very end, when you've said, all logic points to me buying this car, but if I flipped a coin, how would I feel if I bought that car? And if inside you go, I will hate myself in that car, then don't buy that car.
I don't want to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah. Or I don't like this color. I don't want this car. I don't like anything about it. Whatever the deal is, just ask yourself, because you do have to live with those things. You buy a house, you change your job, you buy a car, you're going to have to live with those, you know. Do as much as you can. You're right over there. You're like wrestling and spinning around.
Yeah.
Put your coat on.
I am.
All right.
That's what I'm wrestling around for.
I don't know why.
It'd be nice if you could turn the heat off.
Well, Rusty took all the firewood. So,
and usually it's really warm in here,
I know, yes.
Thanks, Rusty.
Yeah. Well, he said, did you hear what he said? He's saying no snow for Christmas.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
No, I'm okay with that.
Don't you? Oh my gosh. Don't you want a little snow out there to make it all pretty? Just on the grass.
If it was just on the grass, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Wow. Another Scrooge over here. All right. So
after, humbug.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So after that, we want to, you ready for this? Overcome perfectionism.
Oh.
This is another one that stops people from making decisions so often, right? We can't finalize something until we're, it's like, no, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. No, I don't like that. Okay. When I was in speaking contests, I would join these contests and move up through the ranks and compete against a lot of great speakers with great ideas and stuff. A lot of people would come to me and say, "Oh, Marty, you know, your speeches aren't perfect. You know, you have a lot of these crutch words. You put the ums and the ahs and the sos and all, right? That kind of stuff." And I was like, "Oh, I worked on it a little bit trying to eliminate them. And I think that if I really concentrated, I could eliminate what they're called filler words or crutch words." But I started listening to some of the audio recordings of myself.
Oh.
And I said, I didn't mind those crutch words. If it gets to be too much, it's bad, but I like the way I speak. It sounds conversational.
Oh.
Okay. And many people would agree. But many people who would also be in those contests or would study public speaking in order to get in front of a group hesitate to get in front of a group because they're like, it's not perfect. It's not ready yet. I'm still using crutch words. I can't do this. I don't know about this. So I would encourage you to stop looking for perfection. Remember, perfection is just a direction. Growth is the goal. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
That's our, we have that t-shirt.
That t-shirt.
Right, there you go. But that's what's so important is you know you will never find perfection. Okay, perfection does not exist. So instead, what you've got to do is you've got to say, where is it good enough? Is it in a speech? Did I get my message across? Think about these shows. Can you imagine if we said before the show, let's rehearse the show. Let's do this a couple times over and over and over again until we get it just right. And we'll script it out. It would sound awful.
Horrible.
And we wouldn't have any fun doing it.
Horrible.
Right?
Yeah.
So what happens is, let a few flaws out here and there. All right?
Bloopers.
Yeah, exactly. It adds a life to the whatever you're doing. So when you're looking to buy a new home and you're like, no, it's got to be the perfect home. That's not it. Before you know it, 20 years later, you're like, we never bought a home. Okay? You're looking for the perfect car. It's not going to exist. You're going to find many cars you like, many cars you love, many cars you lust for, okay, which was a different show. All right? But what happens is don't look for perfection. Understand that you have to draw the line somewhere and saying this is, and I hate to say it like this, this is good enough. This is great, but it's not perfect. All right? Nothing is going to be perfect. Okay?
Nothing.
All right? So overcome that perfectionist attitude of I can't make a decision until something's perfect. When you're choosing between those two restaurants, you think about it. If the Italian restaurant was absolutely perfect in every regard, you wouldn't even think about the fish fry. Or if the fish fry was absolutely perfect in every regard, you wouldn't even think of the Italian restaurant. So neither are the exact perfect answer. So just choose one and go with it and own it. Be confident and enjoy yourself. Don't stress over it. Don't let the decision making pull you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going out to dinner on a Friday night. It should all be fun. You shouldn't go there and can't even figure out where to go. Okay? Which leads us to the N, which is nurture positive self-talk. All right? So that's the N. But before we jump into that, you got another quote for us there, Tiff?
This is from your long-lost friend.
Nice.
Your neighbor.
Aristotle or Socrates?
Well, Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Oh.
Worrying is like paying debt that you do not own.
Nice. Worrying is like paying debt
that you don't owe.
Okay. Nice. I like that. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. When you think about it, I'm not saying that we can snap a finger and stop worrying. No one is saying that. But it is something that we should work at doing. right? If you could eliminate all the worry in your life, think of that, Tiffany. Wouldn't that be incredible?
I'd be a happy camper.
Right? Right? And what ends up happening is every time you hear about somebody finding a genie's lamp on the beach and they rub it and the genie comes out, you get three wishes, no one ever says eliminate worry. No one ever says, they go, oh, give me $1 million. And then what ends up happening? You give you $1 million. Oh, but I just saw somebody who has $2 million. All right, my second wish is give me $2 million. Oh, I just saw, you will always worry about something else. So instead, wouldn't it be great to just say, my first wish, I want to eliminate worry. Just take worry out of my life. Make all my decisions easy from now on. Wow.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh my God. You're all right. You're right over there.
Yep.
All right.
Now I want that damn genie.
There you go. I don't know. So those are the first two wishes. Make all my decisions easy. Eliminate worry. I don't know what I want. The third one. Maybe a big plate of pasta bazool.
Pasta bazool.
All right. So got another quote for us over there? Because you said you had a whole bunch of them.
I do.
I want, you know, I'm looking forward to this because we didn't really have any quotes last week.
They were slacking then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think, no, actually, I think...
Luke is pretty good.
Yeah, I think Luke had a couple quotes.
I bet you he did.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes the worst place you can be is in your own head.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I met a couple people, and I think that's a worse head to be in. Okay, but anyway, yes, sometimes you're absolutely right. You're stuck in there, and you bury yourselves in indecision, and it's a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, let's go out and do it, right? Okay, fantastic. All right, so let's jump into this. You got a couple more because I want you to save them for the end.
Oh, okay.
All right. I want you to save them for, you know, the end when all of our guests leave.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then you can rattle them off for the next hour. Okay. So we're talking about the nurturing positive self-talk. And this is what's so important. This is this thing that, man, I think this was one of the chiming moments, the beginnings of it all for me. Was understanding that there are things like we talk about that anger us, right? And they make us mad and we can't, and that's a natural reaction. We can't beat it. There are things that scare us in life, right? And we say, oh my God, this is never going to get better. This is terrifying, etc. There are things that make us really sad, okay? Whether it's losing someone, whether it is I missed out on something, these people don't like me, whatever the deal is, we get genuinely sad and we try to fight our way past this. And what we tend to do as humans is we dwell in those homes in anger, sadness, and fear. And we keep saying, I'm a loser because I'm afraid. I'm a loser because I'm angry. We don't necessarily say it in those exact words, but we stay angry. We stay sad because it's comfortable. And it doesn't take a lot of work to stay angry. It doesn't take a lot of work to stay sad. It doesn't take a lot of work to stay fearful. It takes work to leave those emotions, all right, and say, I'm going to be happy. And part of the thing that happens is we continue to say negative things. How often do people come home from work or come home from school and they go, I had a terrible day. You had a terrible day. My day was worse. Okay, this is what happened and this is what happened and all of this negative, negative talk. And so we have to learn to nurture positive self-talk. We've got to fill our brains with positive self-talk. We've got to continue to say, there are great things happening in the world, right? And there are great things that I can learn and do. And I did have a great day. If the smallest thing I did was made someone else smile, then let me think about that instead of all the people who frowned at me. Who cares about them? Concentrate on the good, the positive, the wonderful things, the joy. That's this whole idea, is that what we do is we bombard ourselves with all the negativity. And that's why I start the show all the time saying that happiness is outnumbered 3-1, because it really is. We spend so much time thinking of the negative and such little time thinking of the positive. And every time you say something negative, we have to learn to start getting in the habit of trying to come up with three positive things.
Three positives for every one negative.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it. Because you think about your entire life, okay, we continue to say negative things to ourselves. All right, we're our own worst enemy.
We
beat ourselves up. We're always saying, I can't do that. I wish I could have done that. I'll never be good at that, etc. Start remembering and reminding yourself of how wonderful you are and how wonderful this life is. And do that, the 3-1, because every negative beat it up with 3-1. I'm going to drive this home again, and this right away from probably the first show, is I want people to really go to my website, masterhappiness.com, and they'll see the little pink pig, Clarence the Pig. His friends call him Bacon. You click on that, and you can download that happiness worksheet, which shows you just how to do this.
You have a few worksheets on there.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But that one, the happiness worksheet, I really want people to do this because what it does is a couple different things. It's really simple. It's at the end of the night, you say, what angered me today? And just give it a one-word label or a couple of words. Just label it. And just by doing that sometimes, you see how silly it is that you say, I let that thing anger me. Okay? Then you give it a score, and a score of 1 to 10. And you say, I'm going to give that a 3. It angered me, but it wasn't that bad. Then what saddened me today? And maybe today nothing saddened me, and nothing I can think of. But if something does, give it a label. And again, you look at it and say, how silly that is that I let that rob me of moments of time, right? You give that a score. And then what scared me today? Okay.
It was the ghost.
The ghost is always there. And he doesn't want to, he steals all my baloney. Okay. So you do the same thing. But then what you do is you end it with 3 things that brought you joy, 3 things that made you happy. All right. And you will find that you will just automatically inside, and if you don't feel it at first, do it on purpose. You will automatically start giving the happy things higher scores, bigger numbers. And you will look at this and you'll say, every day, 3 things made me happy, and those were all 10s. And the things that scared me, made me angry, made me sad, are 2s and 3s. They're not that big. And you do this every day. Do it for a week. Do it for a couple of weeks, and you will change. Your mindset will change, and you'll start looking and striving for happiness. And that's what I talk about when I say nurture positive self-talk. You owe it to yourself to be your own best friend. Right?
Right.
Give yourself a hug every now and then.
And a facial.
And a pedicure. I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing my Christmas pedicure pretty soon.
Ooh.
Yes, yeah. But that's what it is. It's you deserve to be happy, and so strive for it. Go for it. That's what's so important. So,
and other people would like to be around you when you're happy.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
So true. So concentrate on that. Let's concentrate on that. All right? Yeah, there you go. Don't hurt yourself. All right. So, with that, because I want us to think about this at the end of the year. We talk about a lot about this, and we're going to talk about resolutions. That's going to be our first show in January. Okay. Because it's Christmas and New Year's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all crazy. So we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll probably be
music playing.
I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But we still have a show next week. That's the 17th, I think. Right. Okay. Yes.
I don't know.
Something like that. All right.
We
do have a show next week. All right. So, Tiffany, give us another quote.
If only thoughts had an off switch.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I love that so much. All right. You know what I would like is, how about this? Instead of an off switch. Well, who said that, first off?
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Nice. How about this? If thoughts had a volume knob. Because the thoughts, look at that.
That is actually pretty loud.
Sorry. If those wonderful happy thoughts, I want to crank it up.
Yeah.
And the sad thoughts, I want to live with, because sometimes I can't just eliminate them, but I would love to lower the volume and just not make them exciting.
That's good.
Okay. That might be t-shirt worthy. Let's work on that. All right. So anyway, yeah, I like that, is just concentrate on the happy thoughts. One more? Okay. One more?
Don't let your mind bully your body.
Wow. You really did well. Mm. Now I know what you've been doing for the past 2 weeks.
That's,
just giving up quotes.
June Wood.
June Wood?
Yeah.
June Wood what?
What?
Never mind. All right. But that's... What was it again? Now I forgot. Now I'm so...
Don't let your mind bully your body.
Yeah. Yeah, because what... Let's put it this way. We talked about this in the past. Is that when we worry about a simple decision or a big decision, we start worrying, we start getting an upset stomach.
Physical,
it changes. And I just want to always remind people of that, is just think of that. Why is it that we allow ourselves to get physically ill, overthinking or just allowing anxiety, the fear of the future, affect us in such a strong way? And just understanding that that can happen, understanding that means that we have the power to turn it around. We have the power to do this.
We do.
Right.
We really do.
So that's what we should do. You know what? Yeah. You know what I did see? I just noticed I got a text from someone, and at first I read it, and I was like, I don't know what they mean. It's Joaquin.
Joaquin. Thank you. Now, how did they text you? Did they text you how it's...
W-A-Keen. There you go.
That's whoever sent it, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Christy. That was I looked at it thinking, Joaquin, what is that?
You didn't know?
No, at first I had to say it out loud in my mind, and then I heard myself, and I said, oh, Joaquin.
Thank you, Christy.
She's so smart.
She's there.
All right, so...
And actually, that was the only text we got, so she was the only one
that knew. Let me see. Yeah, I think that was the only one. Yeah.
I'm surprised our German listeners didn't text you.
Exactly. That they wouldn't know what Joaquin was. Right. Joaquin. They're still not understanding our English. But anyway, so with that.
I have one more.
Oh, you do? Let's hear it.
Okay. If it's out of your hands, it deserves freedom from your mind, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Wow, I like that.
That is
one.
A good
That's
one,
a good
isn't
one.
It?
Who's that?
Ivan. Newer, N-U-R-U.
All right. Way to go, Ivan. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was
one.
A good one.
Right, because if it's out of our hands, in other words, we can't control it. If it's out of our hands, it should be out of our mind.
Yep.
I love it. I love it.
Okay.
All right. So just in conclusion.
Oh, we got to do okay.
What?
We're going to do the bacon.
What bacon? Oh, we'll just wrap it up one more time? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Isn't that what you usually do?
I usually do that. Sometimes I do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, we can do
you
that.
You had something else planned,
No, I was just going to kind of wrap it up, but it's the same thing. All right, which is the bacon is this. So be mindful, all right? Take control of your own thoughts. Exercise, meditate, do yoga, whatever it takes to kind of understand and alleviate some stress. A is analyze your thoughts. All right, really take a look at it. Is this really what's upsetting you? The next one is C, which is create a plan. Now that you know how to do this, actually do it. Don't just talk about it. Okay, O is overcome perfectionism. Perfection is just a direction. Growth is the goal, right? Okay, and obviously the last one is nurture positive self-talk. Start as silly as it is of giving yourself positive affirmations, I think that it's really... important for us to remind ourselves how wonderful we absolutely are.
Aww.
All the time. I'm lucky because I get to see Tiffany every Monday.
Well, not so, every Monday. Last Monday.
No, but I brought my photo of you and I kept it right here.
So
I could see you. So knowing that I see you every Monday makes me feel like maybe I'm a pretty good guy because I get blessed with you, Tiffany.
Oh, goodness.
There you go. All right. With that, I'm going to say ta-ta for now. So say good night, Tiffany.
Good night, Tiffany.
All right. Bye-bye. See you guys next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye.